James chapter 1, beginning at verse 19. As I read this, follow along with me on the screen, or if you have your Bibles, it says this: "My dear brothers, take note of this." Whenever the Bible says take notes, let me tell you, it's important, okay? So it says, "My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak," amen, "and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save your soul." And I'm going to stop right there. This is such an interesting verse. I was out of town this week, and in the hotel room, I started reading this particular verse. I got caught up in the book of James, and I started thinking about this, that this was a real crucial moment. This is a real tragic time in the people's lives as James was writing this letter. But as I was out of town, I was in, you know, with other pastors and meetings all pretty much for hours throughout the day. I would get home around 12 o'clock midnight. So as I got home around midnight to my hotel room, and I went my way into the room, you ever feel so exhausted you just want to just lie down, watch a little bit of TV, and pass out? You know, that's amazing, especially in hotels. I don't know what it is about it, but so I turned on the TV, and I was clicking through some channels, finding some entertainment. I don't know, the TV's pretty whatever. But as I was flipping through the channels, there was an infomercial. You guys love infomercials? Like, let me tell you, I'm very, yeah, don't get me wrong. I think I need everything, you know? And it's, yeah, it's crazy like that. But this particular infomercial was making me laugh hysterically, because it was an acne one, you know? And I don't mean to be mean, don't judge me, but what's crazy is that you get all these people crying. They were really crying about their skin problem. And they were talking, there was one girl that she was talking about she couldn't get a date to prom because of her skin condition. And there was another guy that couldn't get a girlfriend, and they're crying. And I'm like, hey, man, you're so mean, but hear me out. Don't judge me just yet. And the guy, you know, they're all crying and real depressed. And they're just talking about their acne, and they're miserable because of their acne, right? So I start really saying, wow, this is actually entertainment. I wanted to hear their life story, so I was hearing all these testimonies about their bad skin problems and what happened to them and who made fun of them, who rejected them, and who didn't get that kiss and who didn't have confidence, and I'm eating all this up. I almost bought it, you know? But as I'm listening to this infomercial, what was so captivating was they really, truly would show the world their problem. And they would tell everyone how messed up I was, right? Until what? I used the product. And what's so crazy about this is that as they would show the product, a doctor coming in fine print, not a real doctor, but then why are you wearing a lab coat? Like, I don't get it, and whatever. But they would say, like, oh, they were explaining what acne is and how it happens. And this is where things got really deep for me and really interesting. Because acne occurs when the pores of your skin get clogged and there's a blockage and the body is not able to sweat out those contaminants, and those contaminants in your body stay blocked inside, and as a result of those contaminants being blocked, your body gets an infection, your skin can get infected, and it begins to break out, and thus you have acne, okay? That's it. If you guys didn't know, now you know. So anyway, as I was looking at that television program, it all of a sudden hit me. I said, my goodness, you mean to tell me a blockage is what causes that infection that causes that breakout and that irritation? And all of a sudden I said, that's what I'm going to preach about on Sunday. Because a lot of us have spiritual acne. There's a lot of us that you will look at their spiritual life and there's a blockage inside of them. And there's all these contaminating things inside of you. There's jealousy, there's lust, there's anger, there's depression, there's discouragement, and there's so much in you being blocked that it's preventing you from enjoying the life that God wants for you. Amen? Let me tell you that a lot of us do not enjoy our relationship with Christ because we're so filled with this blockage and this contaminating things inside of us. And as I was studying the book of James, it's so interesting that the people of James, the letter that James was writing, he was writing to people that had spiritual acne. Let me explain to you what's happening. The people here in James were Christians, and they were being persecuted for their faith. And they were being slaughtered, and they were being scattered everywhere, and husbands were dying, and wives were being taken away, and children were being sold, and people were being in prison, and it was such a hard time for them. And these are people that gave their lives to Jesus Christ. These are people that humbly committed themselves to Christ, and as a result, they're seeing their homes burn and their children die, and everything around them, their businesses fail. They're seeing everything around them fall apart. So let me explain to you that they're being hit hard by life. Maybe you're here and you can relate when you've been hit really hard by life. And the people, as a result of this, began to feel angry. This is why James starts off, hey, you need to be slow to become angry. You got to be quick to listen, but slow to become angry. And the people were angry because number one, God allowed this to happen to them. And number two, they were angry at the people that were doing it to them. And that anger was inside of them. And it was blocking them, their spiritual life. Let me explain something as I read this. There are two definitions for the word anger in the New Testament. The New Testament was really originally in Greek. And the two words, you have one word which is thumos. Everyone say that with me. Thumos. You got it? Say it one more time. Thumos. Thumos is where we get the word like thermonuclear or thermometer. It's when you kind of get heated up, but then it can kind of cool down again. You ever had the person get you so mad and so angry, you begin to boil over, and you just say, I just need to be alone right now. Don't talk to me. Don't look at me. Don't acknowledge me. Amen? Anyone? Yeah. And what happens when you kind of just go away for a while? You cool down. You see, thumos anger is a temporary anger. It's the type of anger that someone does something to you or something happens to you that at that specific moment, you heat up and you boil up, but then you calm down. The word anger in James is not thumos, though. The word anger here is the second definition, which is orge. And orge is a type of anger that's inside of you, that stays inside of you. It's the type of anger that you cannot let it go, what that person did to you. It's the type of anger that you cannot believe and you have never, and how could they? And it's been years. It's been decades. It's been weeks. It's been months. And that anger is still inside of you when you think about that person and what they did to you. The anger is still inside of you when you just think about them. When you look at them, the orge just comes out. The anger is inside of you. And that's the blockage that's happening here. The people here in the book of James had that anger over what God had allowed for them to happen in their life. They were angry at what the people were doing to them. They were angry that they lost their lives. They were angry that they lost their loved ones. They were angry that they were scattered everywhere. And that anger, that orge anger that's inside of you blocks your spirit. And all of a sudden, that kind of anger contaminates you. That anger over what someone did to you. That anger over what someone should have done for you. That anger over the situation that you're in, if you leave it long enough inside you, begins to block you, begins to contaminate you inside, turns into bitterness, turns into resentment. You can't stand the person anymore. You have no love for them, no desire for them. You wish the worst upon them. Do you understand now that in the book of James, the people's spiritual life had been totally affected negatively? The people of, the book of James, their worship was affected, their church was affected, their relationship with God was affected because of their outward circumstances. Have you ever been in a place in your life that your anger gets in the way between you and God? Can I get a witness, anyone? Have you ever been in a place in your life where because you're so angry, you cannot go to church because you're so angry at that person? How dare you ask me to pray or even pick up my Bible or anything? Do you understand now that the people here in James, the reason this letter was written, it was written to a group of people who were so angry. It wasn't thumos. They weren't going to get over it. They weren't going to cool down. They were bitter. They were enraged. And it was affecting their spiritual life. And it blocked them in such a way that they were so angry. And what I see a lot in people today, that there's a lot of people, maybe this is you, maybe this is you listening to me online right now, but you're angry. And I'm not talking about your thumos. We have thumos all the time. Traffic and kids misbehaving and the wrong thing was said. Thumos happens in Miami all the time. Amen? What I'm talking about is there's a lot of Oreo anger in you. You're thinking about that person that failed you. Should have been there for you. You're thinking of that church that should have acted like a church. That pastor that should have been a pastor. You're thinking of that person in your life you thought you knew. And years go by, and you're still talking about it, and you're still angry about it, and you look at that person, and you look at them with hatred. There's a lot of you here this morning. You have lost your joy in the Lord. You have lost your peace. There's a lot of you that are suffering depression, discouragement, disillusion. You're looking at yourself, and you're saying, I don't understand how God could allow this in my life. How God can allow that person to hurt me like this? And that anger gets transferred over into him, sadly. Don't ask me to go to church. Don't ask me to worship God. Did you see how he let me down? And what I see here is people like us. People that are discouraged. They're bitter. They're angry. And James told them, the orge does not bring forth the righteous life God desires. That anger that you have does not bring about a great righteous relationship with the Lord. Let me clear it off for you. That orge anger inside of you does this to your relationship with God. It affects it. James was saying, hey, I'm not denying that what happened was difficult. I'm not denying that you're in pain right now. But if you continue to allow this anger inside of you, it's going to affect us. It's going to affect our relationship. And I don't have to explain to you. Some of you are in agreement with me right now that you're here in this place this morning and you are thinking of that person, you're thinking of that situation, and the anger has truly affected your relationship with God. It does not bring forth the righteous life that God desires. God desires to live for us to live a righteous life. But if we have that anger that leads to bitterness, that leads to resentment, that leads to gossip, that leads to backstabbing, that leads to betrayal, that leads to slander, do you really think you're going to live a life that pleases God? Amen? I came here to preach this morning. I want you to know. Because there are too many Christians living in that type of anger. So what do I do? Yes, that's me. I'm angry over what that church did to me. I'm angry over what my wife, my spouse did to me. I'm angry over what my kids did to me. I'm angry, David. I'm angry. Can anyone say that this morning? Amen? Think about this. James had a solution for them. God said, what you need to do in order to receive your joy and your peace again in your life. How many of you are seeking joy and peace in your life? Show me your hands. Okay. I'm glad this message is for you. James is clear. These are the steps you need to follow. And today, as I read James, I want to give you those steps. Number one, acknowledge your anger. Acknowledge your problem to God. If you're in denial, you'll never change your life. You can't fix what's not broken, correct? So if you feel you're not broken, you'll never get fixed. A lot of you feel when you're in denial that you have a bitterness problem. A lot of you in denial that you have an anger problem, a resentment. No, I don't hate them, please. You know you do. Acknowledge. To acknowledge, saying yes. God, I do hate that person. Yes, God, I am this way. Yes, God, I acknowledge to you right now. I'm not going to hide it. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I'm not going to deny it. I have a problem. There's nothing wrong with acknowledging to God that you have a problem with a certain thing, a certain situation, a certain emotion. Do you understand that there is nothing wrong with acknowledging to God? You understand something about acne and that commercial? Why didn't I order it? Have you seen my skin? Not kidding, but seriously. What? I know, right? Should have known. Look at this complexion. I mean, seriously, I don't need that. I say this with humility and a point. The reason I didn't buy it because I acknowledged I don't need it. But there was someone out there saying, I need that. You see, acne cream, in order for it to first work, you must acknowledge that you need it. Amen? In order for God to work in your life, let me just tell you that you need to acknowledge that you need Him. Amen? In order for God to work and change you, you need to acknowledge that you need to change. I am tired of people that ask me for counseling that tell me I don't need counseling. Then why did you call me? I don't understand it. I'm tired of people saying, no, they're the problem, not me. The first step to seeing change in your life and removing the blockage of your spiritual life is, say it loud, acknowledge. Turn to your neighbor and say, acknowledge. Would you admit to God that you're struggling in some area of your life? So you acknowledge that you need God. This is God today, okay? Let's just say this. You acknowledge that you need God. You got that point, correct? Stop praying and stop asking God to change you if you're not willing to take the steps for change. Amen? Many of you will pray, Lord, fix me, change me, correct me. Okay, do this. Uh-uh. Many of you say, God, I want to get rid of this attitude. I want to get rid of this lust. I want to get rid of this addiction, this problem. I want to get rid of this. And we expect God to miraculously come. That's it. It's over. You're fixed. You're perfect. No, I'm sorry. Some people preach that and believe that, and I have seen it work. But the majority of the time, God will say, you've just acknowledged me. You've just acknowledged you need help. Now take these steps. If it's a lust problem, stay away from him. Stay away from her. Close the computer. Don't be anywhere alone. If it's an adultery problem, do not be flirting around. Don't be winking your eye. Don't be strutting your stuff. Hey, listen to me. There are certain steps you need to take for change. You can't just pray, God, change me. God, fix me. God, I can't go on like this. And you're waiting. Some of you have been praying the same prayer for months or years and you haven't changed because you acknowledge, but you don't take the steps for action. You have to acknowledge you need it first. Number two, look at what James says. Everyone should be quick to what? Listen. Slow to speak, shut up. slow to become angry. Listen to the word of God. Listen to God. When you acknowledge that you need God, you acknowledge that you need his word, his wisdom. Behind every acne cleanser like this one, there it is. Directions. Instructions. Now that I've acknowledged, God, what do I do? Sometimes we need to just shut up and listen. Listen to God's word. Listening comes in many different forms. It's opening up this thing you call a Bible that you haven't seen in months. It's going to church and actually not worrying about what you're going to have for lunch. I know. Listen to God. Let me just tell you, I believe the most precious thing you have that we take for granted is that we can listen to God. You can come to this church on Wednesdays, Sundays, Fridays. You can listen to God, not me, but listen to the word of God. There has to be this thing in you where you say, Lord, I need your direction. I acknowledge my problem. Now what do I do? Listen to God. The problem is, and a lot of us have lost our desire to listen to God. What would you do if Jesus himself, in the flesh, would step down? He would be right in front of you right now, Rachel, right now. And he wants to guide your life. He wants to direct you. He wants to personally talk to you. You feel it? Would you get up now to go to the bathroom? Why? Yeah, would you answer that text? No. Think about that. To understand that if Jesus himself was in front of you personally to instruct you and guide you, you would tell the whole world you need to stop, you need to halt, because right now I need to listen to what he has to say to me. You would shut off your phone. You can care less about Twitter. You can tweet, Jesus is in front of me. I got to go, you know, and that's it. You wouldn't worry about anything else, correct? You with me on this? There will be such an intense desire to listen to God that nothing in the world would matter. Let me tell you, that's how bad you're going to need to want to listen to the word of God. Unfortunately, we are spoiled Americans. We are Americans that we have churches in every corner. We have television programs, we have podcasts, we have books, we have Bibles, we have colorful decorative Bibles. And we still say, I have no time for God. I have no time for church. I have no time to listen. I have no time. And it's so sad because I was with some friends this weekend in this trip I took, and they were missionaries. And they would tell me, it angers me when I come back home. It angers me that when I'm in another country, I hear this woman, he's telling me about this woman that walked 2 days because she found out that he was there to preach. Yet we can't drive 2 minutes because we're tired. It angers me when he told me this other story that in Russia right now where it's illegal to preach the gospel, they can only pass out one Bible so they don't get caught. And the people are actually opening up the Bibles. They're tearing the pages one by one and they're just giving them away. It's like if right now it was illegal and I get my Bible and I tear off pages and Thomas, here's one, and Willie, here, get this, and Rachel, and then we're going to read this and we're going to pass it around. And there's such an intense desire to listen to God that they're willing to suffer and die for it. They're willing to get that one page and just listen to it. And here we have all the pages and we put it on our shelves. And we wake up and we don't care about spending time with God. Yet we can sit and listen to television programs for hours, listen to our friends on the phone. We can listen to the comments on Facebook for hours upon hours. But when it comes to listening to God, really,
You just have no desire. There's no wonder there's no change in your life. You first have to acknowledge him, but you have to have this intense desire to listen to him. I have a friend of mine that did something I've never thought he would do. But he had a young teenager accept Christ. And he was telling me this over lunch. This young man went up to me and said, "Pastor, I want to be like you. I want to learn the Bible like you. I want to know the Bible like you. I want to be a pastor one day. I want to be a Christian. I want to change so much. I want to be like you. Where do I start?" He ignored him. This was during a fishing trip. He kept fishing. The kid came back angry. "Would you please tell me what I have? What book do I have to read? What seminary do I have to go to?" And he starts pushing the pastor. "Hey, tell me, tell me, tell me." To the point that it frustrated him and angered him. He grabs that teenager. True story. He grabs that teenager. Picks him up, throws him in the water, and pins him there to drown him. And he's holding him. And that kid is shaking. And he's fighting him. And he's pushing up again. And that pastor, he told me and no one else because he didn't want to go to jail. But he kept pushing him. And when he saw him already about to pass out, he took him out. And and he's panting and he's freaking out. "Why'd you do that?" And he goes, "What were you thinking when I was drowning you? What was the only thing on your mind? Air." "Exactly. You fought everything to get that air. When you want God bad enough like that, that's when you can be like me. That's when you can change." We have to want God like the very breath in our lungs. Amen. We have to be willing to fight against anything or anyone and let nothing get in the way because you have such an intense desire to listen and be with him. But the littlest thing throws you off course with God. And this isn't to condemn anyone. But how is your time with the Lord lately? How much time do you spend listening to God? As I move on, James said everyone should be quick to listen. You listen to the instructions. "Lord, what do I do? Speak to me. Reveal yourself to me." Verse 21. "Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent. Humbly accept the word planted in you." Number three, you need to accept. Say that with me. Accept the word of God. This is where it gets ugly. Because I can honestly tell you there's some things God tells me. God, there's things that I read here that I don't like. That word accept means not to reject. The problem with you is that you want to pick and choose what you like. The problem with you is that you want to pick and choose what you desire in scriptures. But God never said, "Here's a Bible, pick what you like, discard whatever you don't." He gave you everything. And every thou not and shall nots and do nots, listen, it's not an option. Amen? You accept it. You accept the word of God. You accept it where you receive it and you say, "I don't like it, but I'll do it. I disagree with it. It just doesn't make me happy, but I'll do it." It's never easy to accept God's word. It's easy to accept those verses where he forgives us, right? And he loves you unconditionally. "Oh, Lord, I receive that. I accept that." But what happens with your love thy neighbors? Anyone? How do you accept that? When the Bible says love your enemies as you would love yourself, and you need to accept that. The problem with us, we spend so much time fighting with God.
But God. Anyone say but God a lot? You need to get your butt out of the relationship with God. Okay? Move your butt. Come on. Move your butt. Say it. Move my butt. All right? Stop telling God but. But God, I don't know. Love them. But God, you don't understand what they did to me. And I hear this all the time. But David, you don't understand. But they did this. But they did that. How can I love them? And you argue with God. That's not accepting what he's saying. If God says, forgive them, love them, would it feel right? No. Will you like it? No. Will you do it? You want to fill that one in? That's what it means to accept the word of God. So James tells the people, accept what I'm telling you. Can you imagine after suffering what they suffered, he's telling them, you need to get rid of your filth. You need to get rid of that attitude. They wanted a pity party. They wanted to tell people, oh, my child died. My wife is scattered. I'm in prison. They wanted him, James, to feel sorry. But James, in turn, says, listen, that attitude needs to go. I don't care. Really? I know what happened to you. And I know it was rough. But it's no reason to have that anger and that filth in your life, that blockage. Accepting God's word is never easy. What do you do? Colossians 3:18, let's go there. Everyone struggles with this. Wives, submit to your husband. How many of you would accept that, ladies? One. Everyone? No. Accept that too. You accept that. Many people don't, unfortunately. Many people will say, but God, my husband's a moron. But God, do you live with the man? But God, and you say, and you argue with him. You are rejecting the word of God when you say, God, but. You need to say, I don't like it. He doesn't deserve it. Ladies, he probably doesn't deserve it. But because God said so, you're going to do it. Amen? I don't know. Today's like, amen. Or maybe, amen. That's what I heard. I heard, amen. No. I want an amen. Not an amen. Not David. No, no. Oh, man. Like that. We need to know, the Bible says, wives, submit to your husband as it is fitting to the Lord. And as we go to verse 19, it says, husbands, I didn't leave them out, ladies. Love your wives and do not be harsh with them. The Bible is clear. If you accept men, if you accept this word, but God, she doesn't deserve my respect. But God, she doesn't treat me how I want her to. But God, stop arguing with God about this verse. Treat them nicely. Men, give her a compliment. Cook once in a while. Send her some flowers. Give her a nice rub. Rub her feet. Do whatever it takes to show that woman that there is nothing harsh in this relationship. Amen. Is it easy to do this? No. But you see, when you acknowledge that you need to be more submissive or more loving towards your spouse, and you accept it, your life changes. Change can occur in your marriage if you would accept what God has to say about it. Amen? Parents, you're going to love me for this one. Let's go to the next one. Children, obey your parents in every, I love God, he says everything, so that it will leave no room for question, but no, it's everything, but no, everything, but no, everything. Teenagers, children, you need to shut up and obey your parents. Amen, parents? You need to tell your kids, the Bible says you need to obey me. God gave you to me for a reason. accept the word of God. Kids, your parents are going to be unfair. But God, they don't understand. But God, everyone else is doing it. But God. But when you accept the word of God, you tell God, I don't like it. They don't deserve it. But because I'm their child and they're my parents, I'm going to obey. I'm going to simply do what they say. Do you understand what James is saying here? You need to accept. He was telling them, you need to love these people that killed your family. Do you understand that? You need to love these people. Can I throw one more at you? Husbands, you're going to love this. Hope it doesn't get me in trouble, but 1 Corinthians 7:4. The wife's body does not belong to her alone, but also to her husband. I see a rock coming at me now. Ladies, you're going to stone me. Oh, he went there, ladies. Let's get him. No. In the same way, husbands, the body does not belong to him alone, but also to your wife. We have no problem with that. Here it is, baby. But wives, your body belongs also to your husband. And I love this. Do not deprive each other. That word deprive literally has the same translation as a drought. There's a drought in your marriage, right? Amen. You're like, amen, preach it, brother. There's a drought. Rain's coming, you know. I'm not saying that. Do not deprive each other except by mutual consent, you agree, and for a time so that you may devote yourselves to prayer. If she ain't praying, she with you. So ladies not going to become prayer warriors. I'm not in the mood, you know, and start praying. Don't pull that off. Let me tell the spouse something here. This is in the Bible. Men, use this against your wife. It shouldn't be against your wife, though. I'm sorry. Ladies, if your husband wants intimacy, but you tell him, I have a headache, I'm tired, you're disobeying God's word. And... And he's saying, because Satan is out to tempt them. Oh, the men are loving this. They're going to buy these CDs, man, right? Do not deprive each other. You say, God, I'm not in the mood. God, I'm tired. Lord, he doesn't. Don't touch me. You've done that. Oh, you roll around. Listen, your body belongs to him. And if you're not in time with the Lord, you know. But don't argue with God. Your marriage could be saved and healed. Your home, your family, your life. If you simply accept and stop arguing with God. There might be some ladies online listening to me that don't like this verse, but it's there. I didn't put it. There's men that memorize this verse a lot. And it's the only verse they remember. But you accept the word of God. So number one, acknowledge. Number two, listen. Number three, accept. And number four, this is a tough one. Let's go back to James. Verse 22. Do not merely listen. See, the problem that we have is that we can become great listeners. We can go to the church services. We can go and download this and read that. We have so much information about God nowadays. Why is there so much brokenness and so much depression and discouragement? Why is there so much pain? This is why. Do not merely listen to the word and deceive yourself. Do what it says. The final one is do the word of God. Everyone say that with me. Do the word. Do the word. When you get these steps down, that you acknowledge, you're listening, you're accepting, saying, God, I accept, I know you're right. And you go into that realm of doing the word of God. This is the hardest, but this is where change occurs in your life. This is the most difficult, but this is the most crucial, needed for change in your life. When you do the word. So think about that acne medicine. They acknowledged that they needed it.
They listened to the direction. Apply three times. They didn't say, well, I only want to do it once. Apply it before bed. No, I don't like sleeping with that stuff on. No. You say three times, I will apply it three times. I accept it. So they acknowledged, they listened to the word, they accepted the direction. But isn't it interesting, in those infomercials, they show the before first, correct? So you can know how bad it was. Then they show the after. And they tell you, I was so miserable. This is what caught me about that infomercial. I was so miserable. I was so lonely. I was so discouraged. I was so irritated by all this. But when I applied, and I kept applying it on, something happened. Change began to occur. And they bust out and look at me now. And they're just so happy and so filled with life and joy. And this is what God wants to see in us. We want to say, I used to be so depressed. I was so bitter. I was so angry. I had so much hurt in me, so much pain. But when I started listening to the word of God, when I started acknowledging my need for him, when I started accepting what he said, and when I started doing the word, something happened in me that I started loving more. I started joy. The joy came back to my life. The peace came back to my life. When I started applying and doing it. It does nothing for your life. Listen, if you listen to the word and it stops there, you need to do what it says. If God says love and forgive, you do it. If God says you tithe, don't say, God, I'm broke, but Lord, no, you do it. If God says it, you do it. And you will save yourself so much hurt and pain. How many of you look back in your life and say, if I would have listened, I would have saved myself so much trouble. If I would have just listened, he warned me, he told me, but if I would have just listened, I wouldn't be in this mess right now. You listen and you do. The Bible says, do not merely listen. But do the word. Even if it doesn't feel right, you do it. Let's go to verse 22 one more time so I can read this for you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror. And after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. This is one of the most powerful analogies in the Bible. A mirror. You understand that God's word is a mirror to your life. Anyone look at a mirror today? Show me your hands. Who looked at a mirror? Mirrors are so amazing to me. Because you look at the mirror. You see the mirror? And it tells you exactly, to the point, to the T, what you look like. That's what God's word does. You look at God's word and God will tell you exactly your spiritual condition. You look at God's word, you spend time with him, and he will tell you, you will look at yourself and say, this is what I really look like? Do I really have this anger in me? Do I really have this bitterness in me? Do I really have this rage, this selfishness, this lust, this jealousy? The mirror doesn't lie. God's word does not lie either. Listen to me. When you go into God's word, it is a mirror. You see it, it tells you. But it's up to you what you're going to do next. Ladies, you wake up in the morning. You look at yourself in the mirror. What do you say to yourself? Oh, God. Oh, my God, this woman says. Good. Does it stop there?
No one looks in the mirror and says, man, my hair, oh man, I'm so wrinkled, I'm so this, I'm so that. Okay, let me go now. What do? You fix it. You see, looking at the mirror is not always so pretty, especially if you're me in the morning. But you look at the mirror. You don't argue with what it says. You don't deny it. You say, I have bad hair. I have bad makeup. I need to fix this. So you begin to grab the tools. You grab the blower, the flat iron, the comb. And you do what it says. The mirror tells you your hair is messed up. You fix it. You're wrinkled. You iron. I know, trust me, I know. God's word is a mirror. You look at it, you do what it says. How many of you argue with your mirror? You may not like what the mirror has to tell you, but you know you accept it, right? And you change it. What I love about the ladies, there's a mirror in the bathroom. They get it fixed there. They go to the bedroom, ladies. Amen. The mirror's there. They go and they look at the mirror. Okay, now I'm ready to go out. They go in the car. It's not for driving. It's right for them. What do, ladies, right? 3 mirrors in like 10 minutes. And then I see the ladies come into the lobby. Before they come here, they look at the lobby mirror. 4. And then they sit down and boom, a pocket mirror. To make sure, right, ladies? What if you were that passionate about God's word? You will look at it and spend time with God. God, am I living right? God, am I acting right? God, am I exactly where I need to be? God, do I need to change anything? And you're looking at the word of God. I need to fix this. Oh, this anger needs to go. This jealousy needs to go. This bitterness, this gossip, this needs to go. And you begin to fix yourself. You begin to tell God, I acknowledge. And I'm going to do it. Some of you need to stop arguing with God. And start being doers of the word. Just do it. Stop and listen. And do it. When that wife looks in the mirror, how do you reflect as a wife towards your husband? When the Bible says submit and you look at that Bible, you tell God, am I really submitting? Do I really need to fix some things about that? Husbands, when you look at the word, the mirror, you've been disrespecting her. You've been treating her harshly. You look at that. Don't you walk away from that mirror. You start making the changes. Start doing the word of God. And you'll see how your life changes. Verse 25. The man who looks intently, that you see that word intently, it's not just a little oof, you know? It's detailed. You need to pray to God, give me the details of who I really am, what's really inside me, so I can fix it. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives what? Freedom. And continues to what? Do, continue. It's not a one-time thing. Every day you need to look at that mirror. Every day you need to fix what it says it needs to be fixed. You need to do it continuously. But he does it, doing it. He will be blessed. That word blessed in the Greek is makarios, which literally translates happiness and peace. How many of you want happiness and peace in your life? Do you understand that God says happiness and peace comes when you do the word of God? Some of you lack joy because you're arguing with God too much. Some of you lack peace because you refuse to do what he says. Today is a day that stops.
and you say, Lord, I will look at the mirror and I will do what you say. With every head bowed and every eye closed this moment, how has the Lord revealed himself to you this morning? You will look at the mirror right now. What would it tell you? You need to love more. You need to forgive more. You need to stop being so bitter. You need to let go of this and let go of that. What would the mirror tell you right now, ladies, as a wife, husbands, children, teenagers? Today is a day that you, God willing, says, God, I'm going to do what you say. I don't understand it. I don't like it. But because you said so, I'm going to do it. Do you want peace? Do you want happiness in your life? Do the word of God. If you're here this morning, let me tell you the most important thing the mirror has ever shown us is our sin. The mirror says you are a sinner in need of salvation, in need of cleansiness. The mirror says you need Jesus in your life. That joy first comes when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior of your life. When you acknowledge that you need him and you accept him, you don't reject him. He will forgive you of your sins. And you will have a relationship with him all the way to eternally in heaven. My first prayer is for anyone here that would look at themselves in that mirror, say, Pastor, you're right. I know I'm not living right. I know I'm a sinner. And I know that I need Jesus in my life. You're acknowledging that right now in your heart. If this is you, would you raise your hand right where you're at and say, Pastor, that's me. God bless you. Don't be shy now. God bless you. You in the back. Many people. If you're here this morning, as without a doubt, you know you're a Christian. You know that you've given your life up to the Lord, but there's no peace in your life and there's no joy. It's so sad that a lot of us have Christ, but we don't enjoy the benefits of it because you're living your life so much things and contaminations inside you. There's a blockage. This is the answer, you know. The problem is not them, it's you. The problem is not what they did, it's what you're doing. Let God deal with them. What about you? As a Christian, do you say right now there's anger inside of you? There's anger, there's bitterness, there's hatred right now. God cannot bless your life when you have that inside you contaminating your spirit. You need to do the word of God. You need to go out there today and forgive that person. Write them a letter, call them, do what it takes, but you do what has to be done. This is your prayer. You're dedicating. Say, Lord, I will put the mirror back in my life and I will do what you say. This is your prayer. Raise your hand up right where you're at. God bless you, you across the room, all you, all over this place today. As we sit now and you ponder what was been taught today, stand up to your feet. As we worship, all those who raised their hands today, it's a lot of you. As we worship, I want you to come to this altar. You run if you have to. But I want to pray with you. Because I truly believe this is one of the most important, impactful messages you will ever hear. Because it does you little, virtually nothing, to simply listen to God and do nothing. But real change occurs when when you begin to do the word, not just listen to it. Anyone can listen, but not anyone can apply. So as we worship, you come to this altar, I want to pray for every need of your life. It's better to know nothing about Jesus and do what little he says than to know everything about him and do nothing. You can possess all the knowledge of God and the Bible and everything, but if you don't do anything with it, it is useless. But God looks at that person that may not know much about him. You may not be a theologian, a pastor. You may not know Greek, Hebrew. You may not even know where to start at the Bible. But if you would say, Lord, I need you, and what little I know, I will do, your life will never be the same again. And the Lord looks more at you with honor than any scholar that does nothing. This is your prayer today. Humbly, right now where you're at, pray this with me. Lord Jesus, I want to be a doer. What do I do? When I get home, Lord, I will listen to you. I will spend time with you. I will seek your direction and do what you say I have to do. You be honest with God. Lord, it doesn't feel right to, and you fill in the blank, forgive, to get rid of that pornography, to get rid of that feel. It doesn't feel right, but you tell God right now, Lord, help me do it. Help me be a doer. In Jesus' name. Father, thank you so much for this word. Would you give God praise wherever you're at, from right now, where you're at, just give him praise. Lord, thank you for this word. Thank you, Father, that we can just come and just get the truth. Help us to apply what's been taught today. And Lord, if we need to go online and re-listen to a lot of sermons here to do it, Lord, let it be so. But Father, in this church, I would pray for a desire to be doers of the word. That in this church, we may not have a lot of knowledge and we may not be all this scholarly, Father, but I want to be known as a church that does the word, not just knows the word. This is our prayer, Lord. As we leave this church and as we go to work tomorrow in school and we go back to the busyness, help us, Lord, plant that seed of your word inside us and help it to grow and apply it to our lives. Help us to love our co-workers, our neighbors, our family members, those that hurt us and offend us. Lord, help us to do the word. Give us direction of what to do so we may do it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.